All right, I'd now like to call a council study session of Monday, February 5th, 2007 to order. The first item is to review items on the agenda for the February 5th, which is this evening's regular council meeting. So let's go ahead and take a look at our packet. Page one, we have the invocation, pledge, mayor's welcome. Page two, consent agenda, we've got some liquor license applications, contracts. Contracts continued on page three. Page four, 4E, I will have a potential conflict of interest because of my ownership interest in an asphalt construction business. So I'll turn that over to the vice mayor. Councilmember Griswold.
I didn't know there was a number available for me, and I sort of asked if I could know a dollar per square yard we're paying on carpeting for the new carpeting, but if I can get that before we get upstairs, that'd be fine.
Okay, that's on 4F. All right. Okay. Page five, we have the introductions of some ordinances for February 20th. All right. And resolutions at the bottom of page five. Page six, some zoning cases. Continued on page seven. Subdivision plats on page seven. And page eight. Some recommendations on page eight. And then we have items from citizens present, which is, again, an opportunity for citizens to address the council at the council meeting. We do have a 3-minute time limit, and we usually accept the first three that come in. I have some flexibility on that. If we have additional requests for speakers, we'll try to consider it, that. So let me know how they're coming in or what the request would be. I would, if we have a lot of requests, I'd hope that they can consolidate and get one speaker. They have a similar topic. Okay, that takes care of then the council items for this evening. Let's go on to item number two, which is discuss and provide direction to change the public hearing date for two zoning cases to March 5th, and that's the Lowe's property or application, and give staff direction to introduce these ordinances for the zoning cases on February 20th, 2007 for action on March 5th, 2007. John, you and I have no problem with doing that. In fact, I thought that we had the ability for cases that did not pass P&Z to come forward to council like a design review case anyway. So I was a little surprised that it had to be, that nothing comes forward if there's a motion for denial.
So. Sure. Mayor, Council, let me cover that just briefly. When we have a case go through the Planning and Zoning Board, typically they do recommend approval, and that gives us in the language to put into an ordinance for introduction and consideration by Council. When the Planning and Zoning Board recommends denial, we have no recommendation for what to put into an ordinance. So typically we don't introduce an ordinance. You hold your hearing, and then if you do, Council does want to approve the case, then we use that to prepare an ordinance, have it introduced, and then actually have action taken on the ordinance.
And let me just, why wouldn't we have the same ordinance that the P&Z denied be the one that we would also consider for denial or approval, whichever way? But we would have their recommendation behind it. So why the extra step?
Mayor, usually when P&Z is recommending denial, staff is also recommending denial. And we're recommending denial. We don't provide any suggested stipulations for the case because we're recommending denial. And so in the kind of that more normal case like that, there's nothing to start from to have a recommendation for what would go into an ordinance.
Well, it could be if it was to be considered for approval, we would recommend the following stipulations. But if you don't get all of those, that's the reason for it. Okay.
Right.
I see the catch-22 on it.
So, but in this case, staff had recommended approval. And so we do have what we had proposed to the P&Z board as a place for the council to start tonight and give us direction on what could be included in an ordinance for the P&Z board. So we could move forward with that in this case if the council would like. We think it benefits everyone in the long run. If there's some likelihood that the council is going to want to approve the case. Otherwise, we'll bring people in for the first hearing, and then we'd have to come back again for the second hearing. We'd actually consider the ordinance. Given the number of people interested in this case, we think it would work better for everybody to go ahead, if there's interest on the council's part, introduce the ordinance, and we can have that hearing on March 5th, and the ordinance would be there if the council wants to approve it, to go ahead and do that in one time.
Okay. I favor the suggestion as it's outlined under number two, but I would like to go ahead and have a way for cases to come through with some type of ordinance stipulations for council's consideration without having that additional delay, because I think just that matter of the additional delay and the time and the cost of money makes somebody want to do more compromising than they might feel that they really should or feel had to. So I'd like to look at the process in addition to what we're discussing here at some future date. So other comments on this one, or is the council pretty much in agreement to follow the introduction on the 20th and action on the 5th? Vice Mayor?
I'm fine with that, as long as we are stipulating that doesn't mean we're telling people how we're going to vote on that. Oh, we're no. Just saying that this is the process we're going to go through. And then will someone contact the neighborhood so that they're aware that the public hearing date is has been shifted, so that they don't feel like they have to come out in force to speak on the 20th?
Yes, Mayor. Vice Mayor, we have an extensive list of contact people that have been regularly communicating with our staff planner on this, and we will get the information out through them of what is being recommended here. We'll note that because we had already advertised for the February 20th date, that it will appear on the agenda with the continuance to March 5th. But we'll be letting people know that that's the program.
Okay. Tom?
What would be continued from the 20th to the 5th? It's the introduction?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, that would be the hearing itself. The introduction will go ahead and happen on the 20th.
Okay.
For the
so
March 5th.
So there'll be two items on the agenda.
Correct.
Introduction on the 20th, but the hearing will be on the 5th of March.
Right. Continue to the 5th.
Okay. There's two things on. Right. Thanks.
Yeah. Similar to what we have now for a recommendation for approval, but this is just okay. Anyone object to proceeding that way? Okay, let's do it. Item number three is hear reports on meetings and/or conferences attended. Anybody have any updates? Kyle?
Last Friday, I was at our Mesa Senior Center where they completed their reaccreditation for another 5 years. So they're
good.
Doing a very good service to the community over there, and. I'm going to let you talk about what we did this afternoon.
Okay. Had the public gas, what's the
American
whole?
Public Gas Association.
See, you should have done it. American Public Gas Association is meeting at the in town this week, and had a reception over at the Hilton, luncheon. So, and I think the city of Mesa is one of the top 100 public gas providers now. So we are in a has some outstanding staff, and it's an interesting avenue when you talk of public gas and getting the movers and shakers in that avenue together. And some of the things that Mesa is doing really do shine. We have our safety record in public gas is outstanding. I think there's some talk about renewable energy, working again with methane in some of the landfills to make sure that that gas isn't wasted. Although hot weather isn't quite as conducive as other places in the country, it does work. So that's my take from it. And I was glad that they picked Mesa for their outing. And I think they were very glad when they looked at the weather forecast for the rest of the country that they picked Mesa for their meeting space. Okay, Mike?
The Vice Mayor and I hosted a pancake breakfast for Districts 1 and 2 on Saturday morning at Station Number 6 at Adobe and Lindsay. Was well attended. A lot of folks was able to converse with both members of the council and city staff who were present. And my thanks to the firefighters local for wonderful pancake, egg, and bacon breakfast. We all were fed quite well.
Good. Vice Mayor?
Ditto. I just want to add my thanks to the people who showed up and for the firefighters. They make one heck of a mean pancake. And I'd like to thank Councilmember Jones, too. He's kind of led the way on this. I used to do some other things to try and get neighborhood people together, and this allowed for more people at one place at one time, mm-hmm. So it was very good.
I was out of town last week, and I want to thank you for attending some AMWA and MAG and other meetings that I am normally the representative to, so thank you. Rex?
met last week with the perimeter bike race representatives for a 74-mile bike race through East Mesa. It's going to be on March 31st, so that always brings a lot of high-end bikers to the other kind of bikers, non-motorized, to the East Mesa. Friday, I had family fly in from the Seattle area, from Bellingham, to the new flight on Western Airlines to Williams Gateway. It was a very good flight. It was fairly well full, and they're flying back today. Had a great time. The weather here is a little better than Seattle, so the plane should be full.
Good. All right. Item number four is scheduling the meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to remind the council that, especially District 5 residents, that we do have a town meeting this Tuesday, February 6th, at Shepherd Junior High School. That's 1407 North Alta Mesa Drive at 6 p.m. So hopefully we can get a lot of people out. I think we have a lot of departments that are there have a lot of good information that I think the residents will benefit from. And then just a reminder, we do have our Thursday, February 8th study session at 7:30 a.m. And then next week, February 13th, we have District 6 town meeting at Skyline High School, and it'll also be at 6 p.m. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. The next item is pre-scheduled public opinion appearances, and we have three requests for speakers today. First is Danny Friedman, a field representative from Congressman Harry Mitchell's office. Danny?
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. My name is Danny Friedman. I'm the field representative for newly elected Congressman Harry Mitchell for District 5. That's everything west of McDowell for the most part. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'll be representing the congressman when he's not here during the week, and I'm going to be in touch with all the cities and towns in District 5, so I'm your guy during the week. I also wanted to share with you and the folks present our new office address in Scottsdale, as well as our phone number. Our address is 7201 East Camelback Road. It's Suite 335, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85251. And our phone number is 480-946-2411. And again, I wanted to formally introduce myself and our office to you. If there's anything that you all need in the future and in the short term, I will be happy to help you and anyone else from the city of Mesa who's in District 5. So I'm going to stick around a little bit at the end if any of you have any questions or want to talk to me specifically about something. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak.
All right. Thank you. Next speaker is Jeff Durbin. Jeff?
Thank you, Mayor, for the opportunity to speak. My name is Jeff Durbin. I am an East Valley resident. I've been here in the city of Mesa for 7 years. I'm retired active duty NCO, 23 years. I am here to speak and disclose my displeasure at having read and seen Councilman Brawl's disruption of a recent Mesa City Council meeting and his refusal to participate in the Pledge of Allegiance, as is his duty as an American citizen. I will briefly first discuss the mission statement of the Mesa City Council. You, as members of the council, I'm sure are all well aware of what it says. And one of the key statements in here is bear the ultimate responsibility for the action of the city, in other words, the efficiency, effective control over all city operations. Mr. Rawls's attempt to disrupt the meeting had very little bearing to do with that ultimate responsibility of effective management and government. However, I have to believe that Mr. Rawls has abused his position in this by disrupting the flow of the meetings. He flagrantly disregarding the time-honored and lawfully placed procedures by his refusal to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. His so-called referral to the Constitution are ill-founded and counterproductive to our society as a whole. As a retired active duty member of 23 years of service, I served our country in combat during the Vietnam War, the first Gulf War. Mr. Rawls has stated he was deferred from service because he gets headaches. However, as a combat veteran, I was placed in situations where the enemy was blowing up my base, killing my fellow Americans that were serving their country, having enlisted and took other oaths. We took direct enemy fire via mortars, bullets, and other bombings. I had to face insurgency on a daily basis. Do you think that could give me a headache? And believe me, it paid me quite a bit. Believe me, I did my duty as a citizen, of American citizen. I did not run and turn away from the flag of the United States. During the Iranian crisis, in regards to the hostage take in 1979, I volunteered to be a forward operating observer for the United States Air Force and such United States of which we live. My mission then was to replace the head of main group of light aircraft who were to meet me at the foot of the side of a mountain outside Tehran. Prior to their relaunching then to Tehran and land on the soccer field and retrieve the hostages. I took my enlistment oath to heart. I volunteered, I served, I trained, I was ready. Many of you know what occurred. It was a fiasco, but the fiasco didn't occur in my location. It was unregrettable. I believe firmly had the spineless people such as Rawls turned their backs on our society more than 200 years ago and more, that we would not be the brave country and respected country that we are. I also will, for the record, identify the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, we all know what it is. We all read it, we all cite it. We've been doing it since grade school. However, here's the history of it, and also the many amendments over the years since the 1800s.
Okay, Mr. Durbin, your time is up though. Sorry, we allocate 3 minutes. I do have another speaker. We'll be glad to take your written record there and pass it around amongst council members and read it. The next
have one moment more, please, to read one document.
How long will it take you?
Less than 60 seconds, 45 perhaps.
Go ahead.
All right, this is an official historic document. It falls in line with the Magna Carta, the Constitution, and so forth. It's called the American's Creed. It was written by William Tyler Page. It states, I believe the United States of America is the government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governor, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. This was written in 1917, accepted by the United States Congress, enacted into law on April 3rd, 1918. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Jim Kirk is our next speaker.
Hello, my name is Jim Kirk. This is my wife, Robin Kirk. Thank you for meeting with me so we could discuss the homicide of my son, Robert Nathaniel Kirk, on August 28, 2006, and the many unanswered questions regarding his death. My main focus will be the Mesa Police Department, since you, the Mesa City Council members, can make sure that the Mesa Police are held responsible and accountable for their actions, as well as their lack of action and lack of investigation regarding my son's murder. One, why does the Mesa Police Department feel the need, and why are they allowed to lie to news reporters and to the public? Two, what is the consequence to Mesa City police personnel who lie and mislead the public, the news reporters, and the citizens of Mesa? Details of their lies will be given to you in handwritten format after I am done talking. Three, why was I, my wife, my daughter, and my brother-in-law all told separately on four different occasions not to touch anything in our backyard or go near our son's body by the Mesa Police Department because this was a crime scene and a forensic expert would be out to our house within 24 hours. This was another lie. No one was ever sent to our house. Why? Four, we were 100% sure this was a homicide the day my son was found. Mesa police have been given by me page after page of written reasons. They were even given the phone number of the individuals that threatened my son's life the very day my son's body was found. Look at the police report. That fact is even stated in the report. The question is, why wasn't this information acted upon immediately? Five, why was I assigned a detective that told me, as well as several individuals, which I can provide written notarized statements, that he was 100% sure there was no foul play in my son's death? And this was a waste of his time. He came with this conclusion before an autopsy had even been done. Six, why was this detective superior given the ability to stop forensic experts from being sent to my house the day my son's body was found? Once again, before the autopsy was done. And why was the name of this individual withheld from me for over 2 months? Seven, why is Mesa Police permitted not to return my many, many voice and written messages? They have not communicated with me since October 27, 2006, which was the day I learned the name of the individual that stopped the forensic expert from being sent to my house. What a coincidence. How would you feel if you were treated this way by the police? We're not second-class citizens. I am a law-abiding citizen who has lived in the same house in Mesa for over 20 years, as well as being a very respected business owner in the Valley. Eight, why does the Mesa Police refuse to do their job, which is the only thing that I have ever asked them to do? In closing, please force the Mesa Police Department to do their job and assign a new detective and sergeant to our son's case that are intent on not only solving the murder of my son, but could possibly solve the disappearance and murder of Mikel Biggs, which occurred 9 years ago with the information that I have provided to them. We must get the murderers off the streets of Mesa so our town is safe for its citizens and they are unable to kill someone else's child and loved one. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, Mr. Kirk.
I have something I'll pass out to you. Is that okay?
Just hand it to the city clerk and we'll get it.
Okay.
Okay, because these are not open for discussions, we have two avenues. If somebody is named, they can respond back. Mr. Rawls, you have that right if you'd like to comment. And also, I'd like to do a little follow-up on the last one on the homicide.
These are posted, so they actually can
talk. No, that's true. These are posted subjects. Tom? All right. On the police incident?
Mayor, when we get a copy of the, I believe what I understand is the questions or statements are in writing. And so I will ask that the police department respond in writing and copy the city council, if that would be appropriate.
Okay, thank you. That's it for the items. Let's have a motion. Well, let's see. I'll call the study session, then we'll adjourn and we will reconvene upstairs for the regular council meeting in about 15 minutes. All right, we are adjourned.